You're listening to Nick Luck Daily. This edition is brought to you by Timeform, the trusted source of racing data and analysis, by the Racehorse Owners Association, and by the Racing App, in partnership with FitzDares.
Hi, welcome to Nick Luck Daily. Tom Stanley in for Nick. It's Friday the 8th. Of March. We all know what next week is, and we're going to be focusing on that in the main. We'll have Anthony Bromley, who is the racing manager to Simon Muneer and Isaac Swed, talking about the likely 10 horses that are going to go in the double green to the Cheltenham Festival. We've got Dave Ord with us to look ahead to the weekend from the Sporting Life in association with Time for. Matty Flynn O'Connor is along later on as well. Irish point-to-point trainer who's looking forward to taking three horses to the Tattle's Cheltenham sale after racing on Thursday. Lee Mottershead will be my guest, but we start with Harry Cobden, who I caught up with yesterday after Wincanton, talking about, obviously, the championship. He's certainly in pole position to take that Jump Jockeys Championship, and also his leading festival horses, including a certain runner-up last year in the Gold Cup, Brave Man's Game. But we started off by discussing whether or not it was at the very start of the year that he targeted the Jump Jockeys Championship.
Me and Sam Strong got together in probably the end of April last year and thought, right, we'll give it a good go, and if we can ride 40 winners through the season, then we're sort of in a good position throughout the winter. And I had my 40 winners, it's just Sean had 80, so I think on the 6th of October I was 49 winners behind, and it was looking slightly unrealistic. But I've ridden loads of winners since, and unlucky for Sean, but he was out for 5 weeks, and that sort of gave me the chance. And I think the day he came back from his injury, we were level.
Next week then, who's the best chance? Straight up,
Stay Away Faye probably.
Paul saying headgear possibly.
I think he had it on maybe once at home, just to make sure he didn't have any sort of freaky reactions, and he took to them well. They worked nicely, so I think they should just help him travel a little bit better on the way round.
Mm. Did you feel he sort of ticked or did everything right for he didn't win in the Cotswold Chase in Open Cup?
To be honest with you, I thought he'd nearly win turning in, and he just sort of possibly had a blow and stayed on after the back of the second last. So I was very pleased with the run. Obviously, we're going back to novice company. He's got to have a massive chance.
Paul said he might run two in the Ryanair. You'd ride Stage Star, would you?
You'd say so. Obviously, Hitman finished third in it last year. Ran a terrific race, but Stage Star, I just thought which horse has got a best chance of winning. It wouldn't surprise me if Stage Star went and won the race.
Will you try and dominate?
I'll give it a go.
Okay.
I've had plenty of freebies on him around there in the past, and I think everyone's starting to catch on with it. But I think that'll be the plan. Get out over the first three fences and tow him along a bit. But I'm sure we'll have plenty of horses hot on over there.
Okay. Ginny's surprised you this year?
Yeah, massively. Finished very much down the field in his first run of the season, improved hugely for fitness. He's a big stuffy horse, and he's just kept improving. Loves Cheltenham, very easy to ride, great jumper, and incredibly straightforward horse.
I know I'm missing loads here. Have you picked up any sort of rides not for Paul that you're excited by? Is Theatre Man one of them?
Yeah, Theatre Man's one of them. I've got a couple that we'll wait for the trainers to announce.
Okay. Is Handstands a possibility?
Possibly, and Noble Yates is sort of a horse that I put my name forward, but whether I ride him or not, we're not sure. And I saw Evan Williams had a nice horse in the Grand Daniel that I wanted to ride, because obviously Adam Wedge is off injured, so we've put our name forward for that, and there was something else as well, but you caught me on the back.
No, listen, but I guess has that been a difference this season? Is it because you're going for the championship that you and Sam are sort of putting your name out, if you like, for other rides, or would you do that for a festival anyway?
No, probably not. I wouldn't put myself before this season, I wouldn't have put myself forward for many rides at all. And I actually spoke to Ruby on Sunday. Ruby called me on Sunday asking me about something. We had a conversation and put the phone down, and I thought, bloody hell, he's really one of his right-hand man, and I haven't spoken to him about their fourth or fifth string in the Supreme or whatever, how many ever they're going to run. So I called him back and I said, look, don't forget me next week, and he just laughed on the phone. But if you don't put yourself out, then nobody else will. So it's only a phone call, isn't it?
A handicapper, I mean, you've got Il Ridotto. I don't know whether Afidal's going to get in the county, but there are a few handicappers. Sonigino, Paul mentioned. Is there one that you feel would give you a good chance?
All of those I probably won't ride. Freddie Gendry will ride Il Ridotto. Sonigino probably going to run in the boys' race.
Good point. Yeah, well done.
One horse that I did think... could run okay, and I think he's got a nice chance, and he's been massively progressive this season, is Liari in the Fred Winter.
Yeah.
He'll probably have top weight. I think he has got top weight, but he's a class animal, and we were looking at the, funny enough, me and Paul were looking at the market for the Triumph and the Fred Winter this morning. I think he's 12-1 for a Fred Winter and 25-1 for the Triumph, so the obvious choice would be to go for the Fred Winter, wouldn't it? Mm.
Good luck. Really appreciate your time here, and hope you have a great week.
Thanks very much.
And just as I said thank you, you told me I didn't mention Brave Man's Game. I hold my hands up. How did I forget that?
I don't know. You've got a lot on, Tom.
It's terrible.
But look, he worked really well at Kempton 10 days ago. Seems in fantastic form, and I think 16-1, he's a massive each way price for the Gold Cup.
Do you feel he is the same horse 12 months ago? Because his runs, well, I don't know, he did run well in the King George, didn't he?
Oh, massively. And you know, he had that extra run this year, and he's very good fresh. And I've got lots of faith in him, and I believe that he'll bounce back. And if he doesn't finish in the first three, I'll be very disappointed.
I'm very disappointed I forgot him. Good luck.
Cheers.
Lee Mottis of the Racing Post joins me. Harry Cobden in good form, I felt, at Wincanton yesterday. He did have a nasty tumble, incidentally, late on, and hobbled out of an ambulance. But I did check he was okay. He said he's absolutely fine, which is good news in his bid to win his first championship, which looks increasingly likely. And he's got a good book of rides, Lee, next week, including Brave Man's Game. And I decided not to edit my stupidity out of that, because I thought maybe it does raise an interesting point. Maybe it is just me being stupid, but... this horse, Brave Man's Game, last year's runner-up, is 16-1, as Harry said. He nearly won a King George this year. He won it last year. Are we in danger of overlooking and forgetting about Brave Man's Game?
Well, first of all, Tom, I think it was a very clever subconscious ploy of yours.
Thank
to
you.
Almost certainly intentionally forget Brave Thank Man's you. Game to provide a perfect way in to today's podcast. So congratulations, I'm impressed, and I think you're right. I think maybe we are forgetting Brave Man's Game. I mean, heck, he finished second in last season's Gold Cup. He was right alongside Galopin des Champs at the final fence. Yes, he's ended up being beaten seven lengths, but he also goes into the Gold Cup having finished second in a Gold Cup. He's a King George winner. He's an exceptionally high class chaser. So I think Harry is entitled to be keen on his prospects. I think you are entitled to say, are we forgetting Brave Man's Game? He's 16-1. Is that a fair price? I think it's a very fair price. I think he'd probably be a bit shorter on the day. It will be interesting to see how the weather goes over the festival. We might just touch on that in a second. But yeah, I think he has a big chance. You referenced Tom in the interview, the post piece. I went down to see Harry on the farm last week, and I was struck not just by how much he enjoys farming, but how keen he is on Brave Man's Game. Yes, the horse hasn't had a fabulous season by his own high standards, but I spoke to Harry on the day of that Kempton gallop, and he was genuinely enthused by how the horse felt that day. And in many ways, I think Brave Man's Game is a good example of the depth in this Gold Cup, because although Galopin des Champs dominates the market, and rightly so, as the defending champion who comes in there off two very impressive wins at Leopardstown, albeit the latter didn't seem to impress Hewick's trainer Shark Hanlon, as he says in today's post, but two big wins at Leopardstown. But there are lots of good horses in the Gold Cup. And if Galopin des Champs, for whatever reason, underperforms. And if you are one of the opponents, you might say, well, he's had two big wins at Leopardstown. They maybe were harder wins than they looked at the time, because we often talk about how horses who win easily put more into the races than maybe we think at the time. If he doesn't, for whatever reason, produce his best form, there are four, five, six horses, Tom, I think, in that Gold Cup who we would look at as very worthy, very legitimate Gold Cup winners. So I think it's a fascinating race, as the Gold Cup should be, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Which has an extended sponsor with Boodles, Lee.
Yeah, it does. So Cheltenham have announced that the race will be backed by Boodles through to 2027. That has to be good news for the race and for Cheltenham, particularly in the current market. Boodles have been an enthusiastic backer of the race. They're clearly a firm with racing connections, and they've really embraced their Cheltenham partnership, and in particular the Gold Cup partnership. So it's excellent news that they will be supporting the race through to 2027, in a week in which Cheltenham also got a sponsor for the Baring Bingham Novices Hurdle on the Wednesday. That'll be on this year as the Gallagher Novices Hurdle. I would, just on that one, Tom, just reference something that I know energises our pod colleague Lydia Hislop, and she's spoken about it on the pod as well, and I've raised it in the past. I do think it is disappointing and regrettable that a race like the Gallagher Novices Hurdle is run simply as the Gallagher Novices Hurdle. This, it seems to me, would have been a very good opportunity to attach the race's handle, Baring Bingham, to the actual race name. So the Gallagher Baring Bingham Novices Hurdle, or the Gallagher, whatever they want to call it, Novices Hurdle, because we saw here an example of when a sponsor pulls out Ballymore of a race that doesn't have a handle, we end up talking about it as the race that was formed in the Ballymore last season, as opposed to the Baring Bingham. Flat races, flat pattern races, have to have a handle, Group 1 and Group 2 races. So you couldn't run a race as the Potemps Network Dash. It has to be the Potemps July Cup, etc. Well, this is my pension expert. Whereas in jumps races, that doesn't apply to the top tier of jumps races. I think that's a bad thing, because I think it makes it harder to sell a narrative of the sport. I think it shows a lack of respect for the top races as brands and entities in themselves. I completely understand why racecourses would say, in an example like this, that maybe for Gallagher, it's a more commercially attractive opportunity to have the Gallagher Novices Hurdle, not the Gallagher Baring Bingham. But I think if you look at the bigger picture, I don't think it's a good thing. And I think we should show more respect for those races and race handles. And I think for fans, it makes it easy to understand when they have an official name attached to them, and not just in brackets after the race title.
Continuing our look ahead to the Cheltenham Festival next week, Simon Near and Isaac Swedes racing manager Anthony Bromley joins me now to have a look at the double green army going to Cheltenham. Rather than start with the main ones, I'll just have a look at what's sort of in order in front of me. So you've got Mr. Giff and Another Way in the Supreme currently, and a decision to make with Mr. Giff. Is he more likely for the Gallagher or the Supreme?
Yeah, you have to always say with caveats at the start of this, with any of the Willie Mullin stuff, is it could just all change at the very last minute.
Yes.
But I'm going to, as we see it at the moment, as of Friday morning, Mr. Giff's coming and he'll go for the Supreme. Another Way probably won't travel. He could wait for a graded novice hurdle at Fairy House at Easter, and it'll be a bit easier than next Tuesday. He's a nice horse, but he probably isn't quite up to that at this moment in time.
Mr. Giff obviously doesn't have a good deal of experience in Ireland. Had a bit previously on the flat and over hurdles in France. Do you think he's underestimated, or do you not really have a gauge of how talented he is?
The race he won down in Limerick wasn't much of a race. It was a boys' race, but he bolted up. He's a very slick jumper. We love the sire, Zarak. He wasn't a great flat horse, funnily enough, but he's done nothing wrong over jumps in O'Toy and over in Ireland. They seem quite sweet on him at home. It's a big jump up from a maiden hurdle to the Grade 1 Supreme. They've never questioned the fact that he doesn't deserve a chance. So that gives me confidence. Look, it'll be a nice opening ride for Darrell there, and he'll certainly be hoping to try and see if he can squeeze into the frame at nice odds.
And then two in the Arco. You've got a busy first day, haven't you? Hunter's Yarn and Matata both going to line up?
Yeah, that's the plan at the moment. Haven't decided jockeys wise yet what's happening. We're either waiting on Paul Townend to decide if he's got, Gaelic Warrior or Hunter Jean, but I think it's a 50-50 decision for them. I think Hunter Jean's a decent horse, but Darrell's itching to get on him if he can. But equally, it'll be a big odds. But Matata, wears his heart on his sleeve, will go out in front, and he ran well there on New Year's Day, so why not? He deserves a chance. He wasn't necessarily always going to go Arkell with Matata. His sort of Gold Cup, inverted commas, was the Kingmaker at Warwick, and it got abandoned, which was really annoying because he was about 3-1 on for that race. And that we were going to go Kingmaker into Aintree. But once Kingmaker was missed, I said to Nigel, look, you have a roll of the dice, And and he has gone well at the track, so that's encouraging. But, I mean, the idea is to then go from Narkle to try and go 4 weeks later to Aintree with him.
And one thing on Hunter's Yarn, obviously the county last year, it was 11-2, it didn't work out. Is that in the back of your mind at all, or is that a completely different race, he'll have a live chance in a Narkle?
Yeah, it wasn't probably the greatest race planning decision, I think, in the end, to run him in that big handicap. His hurdling in small field novice hurdles last year had been a bit... He could miss out a few hurdles on the way round, and he wasn't really experienced enough to take on a 24-runner handicap. And it all just happened all a bit... It just wasn't quite... He wasn't quite, worldly wise for that sort of a race, I think. However, and this is one of the arguments that Willie said to put him on the wagon to bring him across, he's a horse who will be coming to future festivals. It's a good experience to come, do the 5-day sort of trip, be out on the gallops in the mornings and all the whole hullabaloo of the festival. And I actually do get that. So when you really need him to step up to the plate, he's already had that experience. He's not going to be eyes on stalks and upset about the whole occasion. He's been there, done it. Yes, it wasn't he wasn't that bad a run, but he just never really quite got into the race. He never got into a rhythm. And it'll be a smaller field in the Arkle. He's got class. He has had the odd error, but I know he's been schooling well in the last week or so again. And I thought he jumped. He learned from the fall at the last on his in his second run, and apart from he went through the second last that day, but other than that, he'd actually jumped really well. And actually, he has got a lovely jump in him, and I think he gives the chases more respect than he gave the hurdles. He didn't give them any respect; he just flattened a lot of those when he was hurdling. So I've got a sneaky feeling he'll run a big race, but got a lot of respect for the competitors. There's some proper graded horses in there.
Yeah. So too in the Champion Hurdle, although that technically has become easier to win, even though it still looks bloody difficult. You said you like a Zarek, and Zarek the Brave is going to head there?
Yeah. Galway Hurdle winner from last year. Was workmanlike in his rear prints after sort of the winter, a break in the winter. He's 5, it's not the ideal age group for Champion Hurdle, but why not? They seem happy enough with him at home, and he was bucking and squealing this week, they said, so he's going to travel. We purposely took out Imperi Pass, and we're not regretting that at all. It's nice to have a backup, a super sub.
Batman Girac is towards the top of the weights in the Boodles, 1-3-3, ?
Yeah, and nice prospect. He's a nice big scopey horse. He's a chaser for the future. Look, we haven't been trying to be clever to get him handicapped, and when he's top weight for a reason, he's certainly not thrown in. But equally, he'll hopefully give a good account himself. It was a much better run at Christmas under Mikey O'Sullivan. Stayed on nicely fourth in the Grade Two, and that form's rock solid. But that's why he's got the rating of 133. I'd say that if there's 4 or 5 horses in there, could be better handicapped than us, and that will probably mess us up. I can't believe we're sort of one of the joint favourites. But he is a nice prospect, and I've seen some videos of him schooling in the last week or so, and hopeful of a nice run. I don't know who'll ride him at the moment. Willie's got three in the race, I think, so I don't know which Paul will decide to ride. But it could be, it might end up being a ride for Daryl, and he'll be excited about it, you know.
El Fabiolo, then. What can you, here's a challenge. What can you tell us about El Fabiolo that we don't know already?
nothing really. I think there's been plenty said. Lots of previews want to criticise his jumping, and I don't really want to get too busy with that. He hasn't ever looked really like falling, but I've got a touch of wood when I say those sort of things, because you know, you don't want to jinx anything. You know?
We can criticise his jumping, but the fact remains he's a neck away from being unbeaten. So, and he might have won at Aintree that day with he got shorter room, didn't he? So does he make you nervous? Just his profile or not?
I certainly watching him at the Dublin Festival. I didn't realise quite how nervous I can get before a race and watching a race, because your heart's in the mouth, I suppose. But and I imagine I'll be the same next Wednesday. Yeah, it will be very nerve-wracking on the day. I mean, Simon Isaac have had favourites, warm favourites at Cheltenham Festival over the years. Footpad would have been a short price favourite for the Arkle and things like that. But they've never had a hot favourite in a blue ribbon event, in one of the big four. And the champion chase. I mean, this has gone to stratospheric level type thing for them, and it sort of will probably dawn on me mostly come Wednesday morning, and I'll be a nervous wreck, I should think.
Yeah, well, he's superstar standard basically in the modern terms if he wins this. So no pressure.
I keep a record of these sort of silly things. I'm sort of quite anal about analysis stuff like that. And they actually, after the Dublin Festival, he's now been put up to 175 as a handicap mark. And that's now puts him above the very highest level that Bristol may ever reach. So he is their highest rated horse they've ever owned. I think Bristol may got a mark of 173 once. And now he's above that. And it's, it's what you dream of trying to get for your owners when they came into the sport. And it's taken me a long time to find one for them, but chuffed to have.
Yes, well found. Where is Reading Tommy Wrong going to go? He's going to go Albert Bartlett.
Yeah, I mean, again, caveats. Yeah. It could suddenly all change if something trod on a stone, or you know, when it arrived at Cheltenham and things. But they've been leaning towards the Albert Bartlett, and it looks pretty much fairly certain that we're going that route. And the noise is coming out of the camp. Sounds like is their number one shout for that race, although the two next to him in the betting are both from the, you know, Dancing City and High Class Hero, both from the same yard. But I get the impression that if all goes well in the next few days leading up to the declarations, that it'll be Paul Town, it'll probably choose him, but you never quite know. And we've got, you know, Beryl waiting in the wings. He said he doesn't fancy going to Fakenham, so he's there if needs be, and next Friday, so yeah, that would be a nice one. If things have all gone a bit wrong during the week, Tuesday, Wednesday being the numerically big days, Reading Tommy Wrong could be the, you know, last chance saloon, but he will be a very good card to be playing on the Friday.
Let's hope you've had a winner by then. Let's hope. Are your bumper horses both going to run?
Both nice horses. Jasmine DeVoe, one of the favourites. Very impressive when he won at Nace. Didn't beat a lot, but was visually very impressive. Set a chance, which we'd been getting all the vibes, was our best, our most likely horse for a champion bumper. You know, after Christmas, we thought that was the one. He got beat on the nod in his bumper, but got beat by a horse of Barry Connell's, which came out and won a winner's bumper impressively since. And actually, it's sort of put him back under the spotlight. I've got a sneaky feeling Set a Chance is a pretty good horse myself, and I don't know how the jockey bookings will go for the race, but
I think they're
very similar profiles, yeah. And yet one's 6-1 and one's 16-1. But anyway, there you go.
That's exactly that.
I'm quite excited. They're not going over for the trip.
O'Castle de Mott, I think, is the standout who we haven't talked about, who is he's got three entries. Yeah. Likeliest run.
Look, there was a lot of lot of rubbish all spoken about the handicappers and this, that, the other. And actually, indeed, the English handicapper has got a better line on French ratings than the Irish man, which is what indeed. I was trying to say right from the outset, really. I wasn't trying to say we were well in. It was just that we can't run off our mark in Ireland because the man's mad. And still, the Irish handicap has still got him on 137. So again, he has to come and run in England. So he's on 133. He will get a run. It actually looks in any of the handicaps. I thought initially he wouldn't be guaranteed a run in anywhere at Cheltenham, but actually the races are all sort of, now they're going down to the confirmations. He looks like he'll get into the Coral Cup. And I think Apple will go and declare him for that on Wednesday. The Betfair Hurdle taught us a couple of things, which is what the idea was. You run horses in races to find out, you ask some questions and you've got to listen to the answers. He was pretty much flat out over 2 miles, which was always a danger, it could be. But we had to sort of roll the dice in a big race to see if it worked. He ran absolutely fine. But I think that he'll be much happier at a pace of a 2.5 mile race. And I think Darryl will be excited to. I'm sort of predicting that Darryl will be on him because Willie's got a few in the race. For a sort of 16-1 shot, I think he might be interesting in the Coral Cup if we go there.
That is a tremendous run through all the double greens coming to Cheltenham next week. Thanks very much for your extended time and good luck. Hope you taste lots of success.
Thanks, Tom.
Well, thank you to Anthony Bromley for that extensive coverage of the double green heading to the Cheltenham Festival. Anthony, who I bumped into at Wincanton yesterday because he was there with his Million in Mind hat on when Largy perked at the opener. She said, would you like a chat at some point about the festival horses for Summoner and Isaac Suede? Which was lovely because when connections do that, makes life ever so easy. So thank you for that. Lee, they've obviously got a fair few live chances, El Fabiolo being the obvious one. We are going to come on to talk about Irish domination and in particular Willie Mullins' domination at the festival and those first couple of days in particular. I guess the Double Green have the majority of their horses based there now and a lot of good young horses there. Willie Mullins, those first 2 days, it is fairly frightening, and in particular day one with about 5 favourites, I think it is. You could get off to a pretty strong start.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Willie could certainly get to the magical 100 festival wins barrier by the midpoint of the meeting. He could easily be having 6, 7, 8 winners before we get to the end of Wednesday. It is utterly remarkable, really, that his yard is so powerful, is so dominant. It'll be fascinating to see at the end of the meeting what percentage of runners in Grade One races Clas Sutton have had over the 4 days. I think this is the sort of debate we have regularly, and it always ought to be prefaced by saying that William Mullins is doing nothing wrong. You can't criticize someone for being exceptionally good at what they do, and it's not his fault that lots of major owners are wanting to send horses to Willie Mullins. One of the blessings, and I've spoken to Anthony Bromley about Willie's domination in the past, spoke to him last year for Racing Post feature, and he made the point that one of the great things with Willie Mullins is you send a horse to Willie, and if you believe that horse has Grade One festival ambitions, that horse will get that opportunity regardless of how many other horses the stable has for that race. So you know you're going to get a chance in the big races. The stats show that Willie Mullins is more likely than anybody else to get you festival winners. And he is immensely attractive to owners. But again, nobody, I think, would say that the level of domination by Willie is a healthy thing for the sport. Again, that's not to criticise him, but one factor for it and for wider Irish domination of jump racing at the minute is the move of British-based owners to have their horses with Irish stables. And the Double Green are reflective of that. Most of their eggs are in the Willie Mullins basket, certainly in terms of exciting young prospects. They tend to go to Clough Sutton now, but lots of other major British-based owners are using Willie Mullins as their trainer.
I think
And
just on the amount of runners he has, Lee, and I think come the day at each race at the Cheltenham Festival, it's, you know, yes, there's domination, but he runs them and they take each other on,
they
and
do, yeah.
all is fair and well. I guess the frustration in particular in the lead up to this festival, which was ironed out yesterday, was Ballyburn and where is this horse going to run?
Yeah.
Antipo's favourite for two races. We don't know where he's going to go. It's been flip flopping a little, as if you follow the exchange money, etc. And a lot of people seem to find that unacceptable. But my unpopular opinion, I quite enjoy working out where he might run them.
Yeah, well, I quite enjoy working out where they might run, but I would still rather have had an answer to that before 9:59 a.m. on Declarations Day. So I think yes, it is part of the puzzle, and I'm sure lots of punters who have got Ballyburn for the Baring Bingham, the Gallagher Baring Bingham, will also have backed the horse for the Supreme once the non-runner no bet concessions came in. And I think it is very welcome, and I think Willie should be applauded for having announced on Thursday his intentions with regards Ballyburn, because that is helpful. It's certainly helpful, I think, for anyone who's looking to have an anti-post bet this close to the festival, that they have an idea now where that horse is going to run. But yes, inevitably, when one stable has such enormous firepower and is, to their credit, very happy to run their horses against each other, but those horses have multiple options at the festival, it is always going to be difficult for punters to work out in advance what they're doing. The Breeders' Cup, I know that about a week out from the meeting, trainers have to indicate, owners have to indicate a first and second preference for horses. Now, I don't believe that that's a sort of a contractual requirement, i.e. that if they say their first choice is the filly and mare turf over the turf, they have to run in the filly and mare turf. But perhaps it just gives punters and fans an idea of how the races are going to look, and perhaps you can add in some sort of penalty if you don't then go with your first. I don't know if that would be a good idea or not, Tom, but it's certainly something they do over there. I've seen people talk about wanting to have declarations much further out from the festival races, and I suppose you could argue that might work for the grade ones. But yeah, it's a difficult old situation, and just in that wider sense of the British owners with the top Irish yards, on the one hand, that is a symptom of the problem that British jump racing has at the moment. But you also have to say it's also a cause of the problem that British jump racing has at the moment.
Lee, what's the Tom Clover Rogues Gallery news?
Well, this one's interesting. Tom Clover, Newmarket trainer, young Newmarket trainer based at the historic Kremlin House Yard, has had considerable success for horses running for the Tony Elliott managed Rogues Gallery syndicates. That has included, of course, last season's Royal Ascot winner, Rogue Millennium, won the Duke of Cambridge. She also previously Lingfield Oaks trial winner, and subsequently sold in December for 1,650,000 guineas. They have had a very good horse, Rogue Lightning, won at the Shergold Cup last year, sold to Wathman Racing for 1 million guineas. So a really successful syndicate. Tom Clover has done extremely well for the Rogues Gallery. But Pete Scargill, the Post deputy industry editor, has put out a story in today's newspaper, speaking to both Tony Elliott and to Tom Clover, in which Tom Clover, Tony Elliott confirms that horses are moving from Tom Clover to other yards. He says, "We're looking to move three quarters of the horses, and so far eight have left Tom Clover's yard. Those horses are going to be going to Peter Chapel Higham, or have gone to Peter Chapel Higham, Alice Haynes, Jack Jones, and Ed Bethel. Tony Elliott says, "It's come as a shock to me that this has had to happen. I feel pushed rather than leaving of our own accord." Now, to an extent, that's a little bit disingenuous, in the sense that an owner who moves horses from one trainer to another trainer is moving horses of their own accord, because I don't imagine that Tom Clover said to Tony Elliott, "Will you please move these horses from my yard and send them to Ed Bethel, Alice Haynes, etc., etc." It appears that the issue relates to Tom Clover having taken a horse for the microshare syndicate Old Gold Racing. Mr. Elliott has made clear to members of the Rogues Gallery Syndicate base that he was unhappy with that move. He doesn't appear to be a fan of microshare syndicates in general, based on what he's told his members. And there are issues, say, relating to Tom Clover taking a horse for Old Gold Racing. And if you look on Old Gold Racing's website, they do reference that Tom now has a two-year-old for Old Gold, in which he's kept 25% of the horse himself. Tom, in the Racing Post piece, is very gracious about what has happened. He says that, you know, they had great success together, and he still has horses for Rogues Gallery, but he says he doesn't want to comment on the nature in relation to another syndicate. It's clearly an interesting one, this, that that Tony Elliott has this issue, it seems, with Old Gold and with the microshare syndicates in general. In the long term, it's maybe not a bad thing for Tom Clover if he can expand his ownership base. There were a lot of eggs in that basket there. He's clearly a very talented young trainer, and I'm sure he'll continue to have lots of success. And I suspect that Rogues Gallery will continue making lots of headlines, as they have up to now.
Well, as we go into the weekend, pleased to say that Sporting Life's Dave Ward joins me for our Something for the Weekend segment in association with Timeform. Welcome along, Dave. What's caught your eye this weekend?
Well, I love this weekend. The Imperial Cup and the EBF Final, the two cracking sort of segues into Cheltenham, right? The two very competitive races every year. But if you crunch the Timeform numbers, which thankfully I don't have to do, somebody does it for me, there's a couple of horses with daylight between them and the rest of the field this year, which is interesting. In the EBF Final, I know he's just about favourite, 9-2, around the 9-2 mark. Hash Things, actually £7 clear of Thank You, Ma'am, the nearest pursuer. Also has a P, indicating that we haven't seen the best of him yet. The theory that he wasn't suited by the drop to 2 miles last time, I don't think that's been lost on a lot of people. Going back up to his best trip, but £7 clear in a race as competitive as an EBF Final is almost unheard of. So that was noteworthy.
He should like the ground as well.
He does. There's a lot in his favour, isn't there?
Yeah.
I thought he might be a bit shorter. I was quite surprised it was the price he is, but I know it's competitive indeed.
What about the big one, the Imperial Cup?
Well, one's £4 clear in that, and pardon my pronunciation, I did German, not French GCSE. Saint Bruy for Paul Nichols, who'll be having his second run since joining him from France. He's £4 clear. He's only had one run for Nichols, didn't stay over 2-3 at Doncaster. The hood goes on here. He's got plenty in his favour, according to Timeform. We'll love the ground. Nichols in his Betfair column gives him a good, solid each-way chance. The Timeform numbers suggest he might have something a little bit more than that.
I did German as well, Dave.
I think it was the easy option, wasn't it, Tom? Well, the more I reflect on it.
And the weird stuff I remember, like Guernsey Garada House, go straight on.
What? I can get you to the town hall if it's the first on the left as well, if that's any use to you.
Guernsey Nachlinks. There you go. what else have we got? Mullins dominates. So Lee and I are discussing this on the pod. The first 14 races of the Cheltenham Festival, he's got first or second favourite for 13 of them. Other than the cross country. I mean, the first day could be serious plus Sutton domination.
It could be. And people are even talking about getting his six short of the 100 that he might actually get it on day one. That the market's got him have five favourites, two second favourites. If you crunch your numbers, Ballyburn would have been £10 clear in that Skybet Supreme. But even in his absence, Tully Hill still joint top rated on time form with Slade Steel, just a pound behind his Mystical Power. And even if you look at the also rounds, which will be leading players for other yards, a horse like Another Way's 151p, Mr. Gift 145 Big P, they're like third and fourth strings, but they're within 5-6 pounds of the top rated with this open to progression. And then you start looking down that the Arco, Hunter's Yarn and Gaelic Warrior, they're top rated, £1 clear of Elite Eight, Tom's another stable mate, and Founder 15, the champion, as you would expect, State Man's 4 clear of Irish Point, 6 of Lossy Mouth. Lossy Mouth sells 3 clear in the mares, and that's of another stable mate in Echoes in Rain. The chance that the bookmakers have got of getting one beat, and they will need one beat, the one they will need beat is Meeting of the Waters in the Ultima. Well, he's £3 and a P behind Giovinco in that Ultima. He's not top rated. Then look at the Boodles, Like in the Mornings, 146p. Batman Jirac for the Mullins is second favourite. He's 143. So he's £3 below the top rated. It's very small margins. National Hunt Chase, Embassy Gardens has been favourite for much of the Antipodes market. He's not anymore. Corbett's Cross is favourite. He's 166p. Embassy Gardens is 165p. Salvador Ziggy is 169. But I go back to a stat that Graham Cunningham, friend of the show, has mentioned before, mentioning the build-up to Cheltenham. Mullins has had 8 runners start at 6-4 or shorter in grade ones at Cheltenham over the last 2 years. 7 have won. The one who didn't, that was a certain Galloping the Champ in the Turner. So it would have been by daylight, 8 from 8. The bookmakers need a result. I think if they're going to get one on the opening day, it'll be in the handicaps.
Dave, danke schön.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Right, Thursday after racing next week, there will be the Tattersalls sale. Many a good horse been picked up at a Cheltenham sale before now. And Matty Flynn O'Connor from Ballycrystal Stables joins me now, one of the leading point-to-point trainers in Ireland. Matty, I'm reading you sold Stairway Faye. He's got a leading chance of another Cheltenham Festival win at the Cheltenham December sale in 2021 for just over £300,000. And I'm sure you're looking forward to going back and selling horses at Cheltenham. What have you got?
Yeah, we're looking forward to going back, Tom. We've three nice horses there that won their point to points in Ireland. There's a half sister to Stay Away Faye called the Big Westerner. She won last Sunday in Ballycahan. She was very good. And then we have a lovely big Saint to Saints horse that we paid a lot of money for at the Derby sale last year. He was very impressive last Sunday, won his point to point by 6 lengths. And we have a nice Son of Milan going additional time, who won his 5-year-old in Punchestown 2 weeks before that.
I mean, sort of profile-wise or ability-wise, I guess you don't want to put one up, do you? But are you particularly excited about one of them? Or are you going to tell me all of them?
They're all got their own strengths between the three of them. They're different types of horses. I think the Saint of Saints horse he's going to be a lovely chaser in time. It's a very big horse, still a bit of a baby. The Milan horse, I presume, would be capable of coming back and trip to 2 mile maybe. I think he had a half brother or a half sister won on the flat in Ascot last year, so coming back and trip won't be any problem to him. And the mare herself then is a bit like Stay Away Faye. She was a bit slow to come to hand, but she seems to be doing things very nice at the minute.
Well, is it a big thing for you when you see a horse like Stay Away Faye go and win at the festival?
Yeah, you know, it's a big thing for the stable here, that when we have them horses that go over and contest in them grade ones, because it just gives the people that are coming back to buy one just a bit of positivity in buying the next horse off you, that they might think that they have a chance of getting maybe another grade one horse that you've run a few through your hands.
Because I guess it's not just about, oh look, Matty's had another, you know, really good future grade one winning horse. It's about what you've done with them in their early life and how you've prepared them for a future of racing, right?
It's exactly, yeah, that's it, yeah. Look, we've been lucky. We've had a couple of very nice horses that have come to our hands. We've had, obviously, Stay Away Faye was a grade one winner. Sporting John was a grade one winner. We've a very, we've a nice horse going to Cheltenham that William Mullins has called High Class Hero. I think he's favoured for the Albert Bartlett. He should go very close. So we've been lucky. We've had some nice ones in the last couple of years.
And why three to this sale? Is it just the sort of festival buzz that you know, is could be in your interest, or is it the right time of year for these three?
It's just the way it worked out, Tom. We had a bit of a virus here in the yard last year, and these horses were a bit slower to come to hand, so we just left them over the summer. and it's just the way it's fallen, to be honest with you. I do like to run them when I think they're ready, and it's just these have come over the last 2 or 3 weeks, so we decided to run them.
Top man, good luck Thursday.
Lovely, thanks Tom.
Back with Lee Mott said of the Racing Post, who can send us away with a winner. Hopefully. No doubt.
Hope. Well, let's go with hope.
James won yesterday. No pressure.
Really?
And drifted out to about 5-1 as well.
Well, okay. Well, in that case,
sorry, but this doesn't help, does it? Sorry.
I'm going to be bold, and I'm going to be ambitious, Tom. And I'm going to go to Cheltenham. Because I'm going to give an anti-post-it for Cheltenham on a Tuesday in the Ultima, the 3 mile handicap chase staged at 250, the Ultima handicap chase. I am going to say it might not be a bad idea to have a little each way bet on Kitty's Light, trained by Christian Williams, a fantastic spring horse. Of course, last season won the Coral Scottish Grand National and the Bet365 Gold Cup at Sandown. Hasn't had a great season so far, but is a spring horse. Ideally, if most of that rain could hold off coming to Cheltenham until the middle of next week, which does seem like it would be helpful. I think Kitty's Light has a real chance in the Grand National, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if the horse runs a big race first in the Ultima on Tuesday. So I'm going to say each way, definitely each way, on Kitty's Light, 33-1 at the moment for the Ultima on Tuesday.
Thanks, Lee. Hope everyone out there has a fabulous weekend and then enjoys next week's racing from the Cheltenham Festival, where Nick will be live with you from Cheltenham each and every morning. That was Friday the 8th of March. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Nick Luck Daily, brought to you by Timeform, the trusted source of racing data and analysis, by the Racehorse Owners Association, and by the Racing App in partnership with Fitstairs.